The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Today, on this first Sunday of Lent, as on all first Sundays of Lent, we are presented with the account of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ's own temptation in the desert by the evil one. Being a man like us in all things but sin, being fully God and fully man, he endures everything that we endure. He knows very much what it's like to be human, with all our idiosyncrasies, our shortcomings, our failings. And so we're given this gospel to remind us right here at the very beginning of Lent, as we take these first steps on our pilgrimage to Easter, that we are not alone. Christ is with us in our struggles. Christ is there helping us with his grace, ever assisting us to reach that victory he has promised and helps us to achieve. And so we have Mark's account today of the events that took place of Jesus in the desert for 40 days, sort of that first Lent that we are now also in. But because Mark is right when he writes his gospel, he doesn't give us very many examples, whereas the other gospel writers will lead you through sometimes paragraphs or chapters of accounts. Mark is content just to give you two sentences. He went into the desert for 40 days and was tempted and then moved on. So to understand what's going on in that temptation with Christ in the desert, we actually have to look at the other Gospels to unpack this story. So doing that, first of all, reminiscent of Adam and Eve's own temptation among wild beasts in the Garden of Eden, the new Adam then does battle in a similar way with the capital sins that are at the root of the first sin and the fall of humanity, but also at the heart of our own individual sins. What causes us to fall? What we keep doing over and over and again, and what healing for, and for God to give us strength and renewal to heal that absence there that we want to have healed and filled to the full. And St. Paul lists them in his letter to the Galatians. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I have warned you about these many times before, and those who persist in such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. St. Timothy, in his second letter, even goes farther. He says, understand this. There will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered, lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, slanderous, licentious, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make all a pretense of religion, but denying its power. Reject them, is his instruction. Tough, isn't it? It's sort of a litany of terror instead of a litany of blessings. And as if this is the description of what it is to be in the latter days, then ponder this, what it must have been like for our Lord Jesus on those first 40 days, when things weren't in their latter, they were in their beginning, so fresh and so new. Because the devil himself was on a quest to divert the attention of Christ from his mission given to him by the Eternal Father. And if he couldn't gain the attention of Christ by all his machinations, then he was going to seek to sabotage the events surrounding our salvation. These very events that would bring us the cure for what plagues humanity. That thing that is right at the heart of us that cuts so deep that we don't know how to heal. In fact, when we look at the other Gospels, we are familiar with the story. The devil comes to Jesus with three things. First, the devil points to rocks and seduces Jesus to fulfill all the pleasures of the flesh, all the earthly and bodily desires. If you are the Son of God, feed yourself. You made these stones. Demand that they serve you. They owe you at least that. You made them. You're their creator. You brought them into existence. They should feed you. Make them do it. Then he takes them to the highest point, on the tallest building, on the very pinnacle of the temple. And the tempter calls out to him to show his superiority. Oh, Jesus, do some tricks. Show us your power. Flex your muscles. Wow them. In fact, just throw yourself down. Oh, doesn't your word, eternal word, if that's what you call yourself, doesn't it say that the angels will catch you? Oh, you made them too, just like those pebbles you didn't want to eat. So force them to do it. Even make the angels subject to you. Make them feel your submission. Dominate them. Guilt them into coming to your aid. And the third point he brings up. Oh, all the kingdoms of the world. I can give you everything. You'll be so happy. All your pleasures will be fulfilled. He displayed all of this before the Lord Jesus. All this can be yours if all you do is lower yourself to my level. Just meet me here face to face. Come meet me on my own turf. Everyone else is doing it. They're all going to be there. What are you waiting for? Let's make everything as it was in the beginning. Let's go back when you and all the other humans were just little children playing in the garden. Do what I tell you to do, because I own you. Worship me. We hear that same sinister voice, don't we, from time to time. But unlike Adam, who succumbed to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and lost salvation for us, that original blessedness, Christ, in a wonderful way that takes us now even beyond the garden to heaven itself, who was like us in every way but sin, did not cave in to the threats of his aggressor. How did he respond? We prayed it just before the gospel. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God alone, and him alone shall you serve. In that very moment, in these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride were all vanquished. And he can do the same for each and every one of us if we allow him to. Allow him to unfold that baptism he poured upon us and the graces of all our holy confessions and holy communions, the sacraments of vocation, of holy orders and matrimony and confirmation and anointing and all these beautiful gifts he gave us to do battle with that which ails us. Because while the grace of God is always fresh and always new, enabling and ennobling humanity to repent and believe in the gospel as we were exhorted, the tactics of the demonic have not changed. Sin is old, it's boring. And in our society today, blessedness and fulfillment have become no longer based upon communion with God and respect for our fellow man. Rather, that litany of terror has mutated to become material gain, instant gratification, saturation in physical pleasures as the meaning of life. As one writer put it, there seems to be some sort of satanic indoctrination of entitlement happening all around us. Individuals are deceived into thinking that they deserve everything they desire, that all pleasures in life are in the lives of other people that they think they need to have to be fulfilled themselves, or owed to them in order to satisfy their own self-serving needs and distorting wants. Do not mistake pleasure for happiness. Think about it. Pleasure cannot be sustained beyond the activity producing it. That's why it always leaves us empty. If you just want pleasure in life, you're always going to be empty because it goes away. But happiness is so much different. The happiness, the blessedness, is sustainable. That happiness, the fulfillment of the abundant life promised to us in Christ Jesus, is everlasting and is in no way dependent upon the attention we receive from other people or this or that thing or this and that person or knowledge or possession of these things and those things that are just the mere satisfaction of our bodily desires to make us so comfortable. Yet demons are clever folk and are never far away from wanting to pry and push their way in any way they can. But we were reminded at the beginning of this Lent to not forget the power that Christ abundantly bestows. Just as he was tempted so harshly as we can be at times in the desert, we were told in the gospel the angels came to minister to him. He had power, but he also had assisting powers to fight with him, and he will send them to fight alongside of us. Because our weapons in this battle for our salvation and blessedness in this life are not earthly things. It's not human domineering power and making demands on other people. They come from the virtues that flow from the grace of God. The virtues of chastity, temperance, charity, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility. All of which can be so refreshing. And all of which create a hostile environment for anything that is not of God. They've weaseled their way into our hearts and minds and our lives. So as we proceed with this Lent, and you want to kick some demon butt out of your life, and really begin to experience the blessedness God promises us, begin first of all by being grateful. Humility. Thankfulness. Being content for the gifts and the talents and the skills that God has given you and entrusted to you. None of us have a right to something of another by making inordinate demands on their time, their attention, or their abilities as if they are to be handed over to us now just because we say so. Instead, fast from all those terrible things. This is the repentance God desires. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Instead, be grateful for what you have already received. Instead of being consumed by this desire to have more and more and more of whatever it is we think that's going to make us happy. Gratitude can change your whole outlook. It means letting go of that sense of entitlement. Letting go and letting God. Nurturing those your own talents and abilities to their fullest potential. To be the best version of yourself that God has created you to be. And measuring yourself by that. Not by comparing ourselves to everyone around us, because the only one who we can compare ourselves to, he is our example. He is our model. And no longer basing my happiness upon having this or that or someone else or what they have and they don't have or whether they do or don't do whatever I think they should be doing for me or for anybody else. Your mission, your plan in life, so that then you can then help participate in the salvation of the whole world. We're told in the gospel, the time of fulfillment, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So on the first Sunday of Lent, we're given this again, this account of Christ's temptation, so that we don't lose hope on our way to Easter. It is possible to conquer sin and begin anew. Christ can defeat all of these things within us that are making us miserable. If we humbly say, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm wrong. I have wronged other people. I've done myself wrong. And I seek your mercy. It's time to make that good confession. To hear those beautiful words, I absolve you. Adam and Eve were tempted to grasp for the knowledge of things they already possessed. And Satan placed before the Lord Jesus similar illusions of pleasure, power, and prestige, but did not falter. And he will visit you with that same grace. By the cross, then, Jesus has already conquered our sins. But we must allow him to make that salvation received active in our lives. And we fail to do so, to seek his mercy in the way that he wants to bring it to us. So place your trust in God. Allow him to cast out whatever has you fearful, afraid, and scared. Allow him to cast out this fear of evil and replace it with his hope. To conclude, we offer the prayer of St. Anselm. Lord my God, teach my heart this day where and how to see you, where and how to find you. You have made and remade me, and you have bestowed on me all the good things I possess, and still I do not know you. I have not yet done that for which I was made. Teach me to seek you, for I cannot seek you unless you teach me, or find you unless you show yourself to me. Let me seek you in my desire. Let me desire in seeking you alone. Let me find you by loving you, and let me love you when at last I find you and am found by you. May we prefer nothing whatever to Jesus Christ, so that he can bring us to everlasting life. Amen.